You are such a girl.
Good morning,
Miss Tom.
Miss
Tom. Man.
Look. I can see myself.
They should be on. We're not getting anything.
Mine's working. Testing.
Hello?
Okay, there we go. Anyway, welcome to Portland City Council.
Welcome.
Well, that's my line. I want to introduce these young people. I was out at Kelly Elementary recently over Safe Routes to School program and met these fine young people and the principal and some of the folks. And this morning, they're going to be performing a musical selection for us about the city of Portland, isn't it?
Yes.
And they're accompanied by their music teacher, Andy Schubring, Principal Sharon Allen, and the PE teacher, Mike Callahan. And afterwards, one of the things I noticed when I was out at Kelly School is that you've got a City of Portland flag, but it's really old and really worn, so this morning I'm going to give you a new City of Portland flag that looks just like that one. So with that, we'll turn it over to...
Our fifth grade is performing a musical in about 3 or 4 weeks called My Favorite Town, and it's about a group of young fifth graders who are moving to the city from various cities around the country and around the world, and in the end of the play, they all determine that of all the places they've ever been, Portland is their favorite. So we're going to sing the title song from that play called My Favorite Town. You'll recognize the music. It's from The Sound of Music, My Favorite Things. We've just kind of changed the words around a little. Okay. Another short selection that comes from that same play. This is also a borrowed tune. We can thank our neighbors to the north for this. You might recognize it as the Canadian National Anthem, but we borrowed that tune so we could sing a song about the lovely lady who graces the Fifth Avenue side of the Portland building.
Do the Canadians mind?
I didn't ask. I wanted to say after we're finished here, we're going to go over there, weather permitting. I think it will, and we're going to stand across the street and sing it to her. So we'll sing it to you first. And I'd like to thank Mayor Potter and the City Council for inviting us here today. This is a real experience for me and for these kids.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you.
Really good job.
Good job.
Thank you so much. And in here is a new Portland City flag. So when you give back out to your school, Ms. Allen, would you,
thank you very much.
That, please?
I sure will.
And Sharon Allen is a principal out at Kelly, and they're doing a great job out there. And we're looking at Portland's future. So I want to thank you guys for coming down. And when you fly this new flag, think about your friends downtown and how much we appreciate what you're doing.
And we're always looking for volunteers, so don't be a stranger.
Just like a principal has the last word.
Thank you, kids, very much
for coming. All right.
Hi, kids. Good job. Yes.
I can't mute those. City Council will come to order. Sue, please call the roll.
Adams.
Here.
Leonard.
Here.
Saltzman.
Here.
Potter.
Here. I'd like to remind folks who are prior to offering public testimony to the City Council, a lobbyist must declare which lobbying entity he or she is authorized to represent. Please read the first communication.
Request of Steve Pixley to address Council regarding Portland Parks and Recreation, Volunteer Corps, and National Volunteer Work Proclamation.
Please come forward.
Thank you, Mayor Potter, Councilman. That's a tough act to follow. I think we have some people that can do it. Last year, as you know, about 16,000 Portlanders contributed over 461,000 hours of volunteer service to the Parks and Recreation Program. They help supplement our services, diversify our ranks, and they bring new and sometimes old ideas that help us to work better. Today, during National Volunteer Appreciation Week, I'd like to present a small sampling of our volunteer crew. They, along with all the others, help make PPNR the finest park system in the nation. So, first, we have Holly Wilcalis, representing Hands on Portland. Holly?
Thanks.
Holly's a remarkable volunteer.
Come on up, sit down. Thank you.
Holly's a remarkable volunteer. She's currently the office manager at Host Development, where she oversees the homeowner volunteer program. And she started at Host as a volunteer, by the way. She also volunteers for Schoolhouse Supplies, leads volunteer training programs at the Hollywood Theater. But it's her work with Hands on Portland that helps us the most, though. Mayor Potter, you may recognize her. She led your painting crew at Ockley Green.
Yes, I still have paint on my jeans from that experience.
You did a very good job, though.
With Hands on Portland, Holly leads a crew out to the community gardens every month, and she and all the Hands on Portland crews really do a terrific job for us. Next up is someone a lot of people know, Roy Pittman of the Peninsula Wrestling Club. Since 1970, Roy has coached wrestling at Peninsula Park Community Center. He's coached over 3,000 kids, 10 of whom have become collegiate champions, and we hope that two more will become Olympians soon. Many of these former wrestlers return to volunteer or bring their own children. Some travel over an hour to get to his practices. But it's not necessarily a success turning out champion wrestlers that keep them coming. It's his success with the children. Roy gets to know every kid and finds the right thing for each of them. He stresses mental discipline, scholastics, sportsmanship, and confidence. I want these young people to dream, he says, and the best way to make dreams come true is to wake up and work for them. Roy Pittman. Finally, I'd like to bring our last two volunteers up to stand with Roy, because Roy is a PPNR retiree, and Judy Kuntz and Dale Goobly are current PPNR employees. I want to remind everyone that not only do we at Parks and Recreation benefit from volunteers, but we Parkies also give back a lot to the rest of the community. In Dale's case, that means supporting youth sports, schools, community safety, and fair labor practices. He's coached, managed, umpired in Little League and Babe Ruth baseball. He's organized tournaments, taught high school players field maintenance techniques, been umpire in chief, and is currently on the school board, on the board of Southeast Portland Babe Ruth. He's also coached bowling with Junior Olympics and instructed rifle at the Canby Rod and Gun Club. He's been a PTA member and a president at Our Lady of Sorrows grade school, and also served as chairman of that school's board. He's a licensed amateur radio operator who assists with search and rescue operations. He volunteers for political campaigns when the cause is just, and he's an active union member. Judy has been serving with Community Gardens for about 10 years, first as a volunteer manager of her garden site, and now as treasurer of the Board of Friends of Community Gardens. Judy is active in her church community. She's a van driver, picking up people for church services every Sunday and organizing various day trips, like Memorial Day to Shriner's Iris Garden, for example. She's currently usher and substitute house manager for the Broadway Rose Theater, but she has volunteered at any number of community theaters over the year. Finally, Judy is a tireless volunteer for Parks After Hours. Anytime there's a special event, whether it's a Halloween party, a concert, poinsettia sale, or Heritage Night program, you can expect to see Judy welcoming guests, serving refreshments, or handling whatever tasks are asked of her, and she does it all with skill and grace. Gentlemen, I'd like you to appreciate our volunteers. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a proclamation to read. Whereas April 27th to May 3rd has been proclaimed to be National Volunteer Week by the President of the United States, and whereas volunteers were key participants in developing the finest park system in the nation, and whereas volunteers continue to maintain our gardens and restore natural areas, thereby enhancing the beauty and health of our city, and volunteers coach, mentor, and teach our children, thereby grooming good citizens of the future. And neighborhood watches, foot patrols, and reserve officers build safe, friendly neighborhoods. And volunteers share food, support, and companionship, thereby providing an important safety net for our neighbors in need. And Portlanders are second to none when it comes to volunteering their time, talent, and resources to our community. And volunteers will continue to shape Portland in the years to come by sharing ideas, advice, and guidance for the continued health and livability of our hometown. Now, therefore, I, Tom Potter, Mayor of the City of Portland, Oregon, the City of Roses, do hereby proclaim April 27th to May 3rd, 2008, Volunteer Appreciation Week in Portland, Oregon. Encourage all residents to recognize this week. Thank you very much. Thank you, Roy, Molly, and all of you folks. Let's give him one other hand. And if anybody's never been out to watch Roy Pittman coach the wrestlers out at Peninsula, it's an amazing thing he does because he not only teaches children how to wrestle, he just uses that as a tool to teach them about life and the values that are important to get them to be healthy and productive people of our community. So thank you all. Please read the next communication.
Item 514, request of Sarah Fritsch from the Leadership Portland class of 2008 to address council regarding cigarette litter.
So you're the t-shirt lady.
That's me. Thank you for giving me 3 minutes of your agenda to discuss cigarette butt litter in Portland. Today I have three objectives. First, I'd like to present to you an opportunity. Second, I'd like to issue you a challenge. And third, I'd like to pledge to you my support. Cigarette butts are toxic litter, and it should be unacceptable to have them in our streets, sidewalks, rivers, and beaches. Globally, over 2 billion butts are littered per day, making butts the most littered item in the world. Butts are not biodegradable. They take up to 12 years to break down. As they break down, they release toxins such as cadmium, lead, and arsenic into the earth and water. Butt litter most often finds its way into storm drains. From there, it hits the rivers, beaches, and oceans. Butts wreak havoc on our ecosystem, on earth, and in water. Studies show that as cities implement indoor smoking bans, for example, the ban which we will implement here in January, the butt litter increases dramatically. That brings me to the first objective, the opportunity. Portland, already a green leader in many ways, is well positioned to lead the country and the world in the battle of the butts. This is a unique opportunity that could further differentiate us as innovative, forward-thinking green leaders. On April 19th, the Leadership Portland class of 2008 partnered with Solve to bring Portland their first butt hunt. Despite frigid weather conditions, we had over 50 volunteers collect approximately 25,000 butts from the sidewalks and streets of Portland, Oregon. We did this in only 2 hours. We also received extensive media coverage and thousands of hits on our website. Portland, Oregon cares about this issue. That brings me to the challenge. I challenge the council to continue the momentum started by the 2008 butt hunt by pledging to allocate resources to lead Portland to become butt-free ASAP. Assuming that you accept my challenge, that brings me to the third objective today. I pledge to you my full citizen support for this initiative. I will make myself available to work with the appropriate bureaus and staff to develop and implement a strategic plan to lead Portland to become butt-free ASAP. I like to finish what I start. I feel strongly that the butt hunt has only just begun. I'm full of ideas and energy to get us from where we are to where we need to be. This is an anti-litter, not an anti-smoking movement. I look very forward to hearing your ideas about how we can work together on this initiative to show the world that Portland is full of forward-thinking leaders and we're serious about innovative green leadership. Thank you again for my 3 minutes. I've left each of you with a butt hunt t-shirt, some materials to educate you further about the butts. Most importantly, I'm leaving you with my contact information so that you know who to call when you're ready to accept the challenge. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. Yeah. Very good. This is the t-shirt that she gave all the council members. It's a picture of a cigarette butt. And so what she wants to do and what I think we all want to do is to make sure we don't have those things on our streets because they are toxic and it's not good for our environment. So thank you very much, Sarah. Please read the next, Sue.
Item 515, request of Pavel Goberman to address council regarding the media.
I'd also like to thank all the children for being here this morning. We have lots of them.
Hi, my name is Pavel Goberman. I want to talk to you about media and election. As you know, I'm official candidate for United States Senator, and I want to give some message to the people. In the past, I informed you about crimes of media of the Oregonian and TV Channel 8, but you did nothing. And crime is continue. Also now Channel 2 does crime. They didn't invite me. They afraid, media afraid me to invite on debate of candidate for United States Senator. I'm honest, incorruptible, with faith, integrity, and high moral principle. My opponents in the primary, Speaker Merkley and Novick, do not say that they are honest and incorruptible. They accept money from many states, from special interests as banks, lawyers, medical organizations, big companies, unions, and others. Sold the people of Oregon to the special interests for more than $2 million, and corrupted media talk about them. The media for own huge monetary benefits promote bribery, corruption, and political prostitution. The media hijacked this country, violate the Constitution of USA, a code of ethics for the media. The media must give information, give the fact and evidence, but do not make president a senator. The media is destroying our democracy, cover up crimes of politicians, promoting Merkley and Novick, who have no military experience. The media created more deaths of our soldiers in Iraq. The media dig a graveyard for itself and all of us. The moron in the media as Association Press, the Oregonian TV Channel 2, Channel 8, cannot understand that money will not shield this nation from a weapons of mass destruction. Many our soldiers died in Iraq because of the media. The media created danger to our national security. It is a cancer of our society, a public enemy. I give message to people. There is no need money in election. Ignore misleading advertisement by Merkley and Novick. It is money of special interest. Yes, proverb. The receiver is as bad as the thief. Another proverb. Don't put rubber to work in bank. I ask it people of work, do homework. Read the water pamphlet. Water's best advertisement. In the first day of May, people will receive water ballots and vote for me, it vote for yourself. If my name is not your ballots, write in. Therefore, I ask it people stand for our country. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gilman.
Next item, 516, request of Glenn Owen to address council regarding an impeachment resolution and add.
Good morning. When you speak, please state your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes, sir.
I'm Glenn Owen, Portland resident and local activist most clearly identified with the movement to secure a new and unrestricted investigation of the false flags attack on America of September 11, 2001, leading to criminal prosecution of those found to be responsible. With that as a primary motive, I have become a committed supporter of the movement to impeach as the means to secure a proper investigation not only of the crimes of 9/11, but also to remedy the constitutional, institutional, and procedural wreckage that the Bush-Cheney regime has wrought in their wake. To date, 26 members of the U.S. House of Representatives have signed on to the impeachment measure that has been buried in the House Judiciary Committee for several months now. Yesterday, new life was breathed into the impeachment initiative in Congress with the appearance of a quarter-page ad and roll call. The tabloid newspaper of Capitol Hill read assiduously by members of Congress, their top aides, and the lobbyists who serenade them. The ad is topped by a particularly morose picture of Richard Milhouse Nixon at the nadir of his defeat, followed by, when Nixon spied on us, Congress acted. Nearly 100 impeachment bills were filed in 1973, many with three or fewer co-sponsors. That ultimately forced his resignation. But they left Nixon's high crime precedents in place. And those precedents have been followed and greatly expanded by the Bush-Cheney administration. If Bush and Cheney are allowed to leave office without being impeached, even worse precedents will remain in place. Future presidents can mislead Congress into costly wars, spy on us, detain arbitrarily without trial, nullify acts of Congress with signing statements, and thereby obtain the final oath, overthrow of constitutional law, protections, procedures, and constitutionally mandated checks and balances. As of yesterday, when the roll call ad appeared, produced by the Portland impeachment campaign, the strategy is to flood the House with a barrage of impeachment bills that cannot be ignored, the exact same technique that brought down Nixon. But there is an important difference. The impeachment of Nixon was never completed, and that allowed all those horrific precedents to remain in place, to be exploited and exacerbated by the Bush-Cheney regime. And without impeachment now, their even more virulent precedents will remain in place. And there's another recent development that bodes well for the success of this impeachment process in Congress. In one way or another, Congress has been complicit in the tyrannical horrors of the last 8 years. That includes Patriot Acts, military tribunals, aggressive war and flying in the face of international law, and incurring the staggering national debt born of wars and tax giveaways to super-rich individuals, families, trusts, and corporate bodies. But there is one recent violation in which Congress was not institutionally complicit, and that is the Bear Stearns J.P. Morgan Chase debacle and bailout at the expense of the entire American people. Those measures were not approved by Congress in any way whatsoever. Culpability for that flagrant, monumental instance of bribery lies solely and wholly on the Bush-Cheney administration and its controllers. That makes possible an article of impeachment in which Congress was clearly not complicit, and that very defalcation of public trust may be the key for their final undoing. Is there really anybody in this room who does not want actively to champion an impeachment action of that character and permanence?
Thank you, sir. That's all the communications. Move to the consent agenda. Does any commissioner wish to pull any item from the consent agenda? Does anybody in this room wish to pull any specific item from the consent agenda? Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Salzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye.
We need to, don't we need to take a roll call?
We do need to take a roll
call. Before we vote?
No, we did.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah?
You said aye, if you were here.
I'm not here today, obviously.
Please read the 9:30 time, sir.
Item 517, assess benefit of properties for street and stormwater improvements in the Southwest Texas Green Street Local Improvement District.
Commissioner Adams?
Well, this is a fantastic Green Street project that was done probably represents some of the best cooperation between transportation, the Bureau of Environmental Services, and the neighborhood. And I had an opportunity to be part of the community discussion leading up to it, and then to see its construction, and then to be there after it was finished. And it's made a good little sort of part of the Southwest Hills a model for the rest of the city to try to follow in terms of great infrastructure, green infrastructure. And Andrew and Mary are the key folks that help make it happen from the city side. And up front, I just want to thank you both and your teams for really outstanding work. And they're going to tell you a little bit in more detail what this is all about.
Thank you, Commissioner. Sue, if we could go ahead and switch to the presentation. Good morning, Mayor Potter, and good morning, Mayor Potter and Commissioners. I'm Andrew Abbey, Local Improvement District Administrator. With me is Mary Wall of the Bureau of Environmental Services. Just a little bit of background on this. City Council did not approve the Texas project the first time that it came before Council. And in fact, City Council changed the LID process in 2003 to make it work better. The following year, we went and repetitioned the Texas project with the new scope, and our petition support increased by 11-fold, from 5% to 55%. We certainly recognize the financial sacrifice of the property owners. The proposed assessments are up to $52,000 per individual property owner after the city funding is applied. But the city's financial contribution leveraged approximately $2 of city funding for each dollar from the property owners. Just wanted to add to what Commissioner Adams said. In addition to BES and PDOT, the Portland Water Bureau was a key key partner in this project. They already had a plan to replace water mains in the area, and the bureaus did a good job of talking to one another, and we were able to coordinate the work so that we wouldn't wind up having to relocate the water mains. Before I turn it over to Mary, I just wanted to note that we did receive three objections, and I'll cover those later after Mary's presentation and the property owner testimony.
Thank you for the time. Good morning. My name is Mary Wall. I'm from Environmental Services. I manage the Watershed Services Group. There are a couple things to know about stormwater. First one is it's either part of the problem and a liability, or it's part of the solution and it's a resource. Whichever of those it is, whether it's on the liability side or on the resource side, it gets bigger with every development. Whichever it is, whether it's a liability or a resource, the problem or the resource benefits accumulate over time and go beyond the immediate site. What you're seeing now is a before and after on Southwest Texas Green Street with street and stormwater improvements. This was a demonstration. It was a steep area, a lot of challenges. We could have picked an easier place to start this kind of demonstration. But the innovative and sustainable solution means a couple things: less basement flooding, and it also means less erosion damage to the driveways, to the roads, the houses, and importantly to Stevens Creek, which is one of the only creeks in the southwest area that actually gets to flow all the way from its headwaters to the Willamette. Next. This is an adjacent street. It's not actually Texas, but it's right near it, and shows the before and after. What you can see here are the sidewalks on just one side of the street, not both, and the street improvements. What you can't see is the basements that don't flood anymore and the mud and stormwater that's not rushing off here so fast that it ruins Stephen Creek. And also what it was doing before is undermining our own critical sewer infrastructure downstream. Next. This is Southwest Texas again. Oops, can you go back one? Thank you. Southwest Texas again. The area that the stormwater actually comes off of is 17 acres. So the stormwater is managed in these swales. And what you're looking at here is a restored wetland at the foot of Southwest Texas. BES purchased and restored that wetland. It turned out not to be a very developable site. They had been trying for some time. It's better as a restored wetland that helps deal with the stormwater, slow it down, and clean it. It also turns out to be a great outdoor classroom, and it's actually being used that way. This treats the stormwater as a resource. This is an example of stormwater being on the good side of the ledger. It's part of the solution that gets better with age. Some assets depreciate over time. These actually get better over time. One of the things about these kinds of solutions also is that they often, for the immediate neighborhood, turn out to be a marketable amenity or can even increase the value of the homes. Next. And this is how the liability side of the ledger plays out and eventually pops out somewhere as a bigger problem. This is downstream from the headwaters area on Southwest Texas. Stormwater came off that upper area so fast and with enough mud and sediment, and with all the volume of stormwater that should have been going into the ground, that it undermined about a mile of our own sewer infrastructure that was in the along the side of Stevens Creek. It's about a $5 million project to fix this. I'll come back to that in just a second. But the problems that were being created were human health problems, water quality problems, and actually compliance problems, because the raw sewage was leaking into Stevens Creek. The project that's going on right now to fix this that resulted from it is about a $5 million project, as I mentioned. The first phase is already finished. The second phase will be this summer. We could come back and give a quick update on that later if you wanted. But what we did was slow and treat the water in Stevens Creek or in Southwest Texas so that it came to this area slower. In this area, we're actually fixing it by working with the creek and changing the flow and shoring up the creek so that we have a long-term fix. Next. And the last thing I want to mention is that this project turned out to be a success. We did pick an area that was maybe one of the harder areas for a demonstration project. Andrew already mentioned a lot of people stepped up. The community, the city's three infrastructure bureaus, BES put $1.3 million into this, including some of the wet weather EPA grant. And what this demonstrates is that green and gray infrastructure can be integrated and come up with solutions that are better than just one alone. And I think your next item is to hear from some of the property owners.
property owners here who are going to testify? Please come forward. Thank you for being here. When you speak, please state your name for the record.
My name is Valerie Chiapetta, and I live on 29th between Texas and Nevada. And I have lived there for just a little over a year, so I can't really speak to you about the process that went into making the decision and doing all the compromising and whatnot. I also live at the top of the hill, so that while my basement never would have been flooded, I have made friends in the area since then who are incredibly grateful that they are no longer waking up to wet basements in the morning and having to do all the repairs and the health issues that go along with having water in somewhere inside your house as opposed to outside of your house. Having said that, I also think that the project itself is very attractive. We moved to the Multnomah Village area from Lake Oswego looking for a more urban, less suburban location, looking for interaction with neighbors that comes from having smaller lots and smaller houses. I was really surprised when we began looking in the area to find how many streets were unpaved. And while that can kind of give a country look to the whole thing, it's also really dirty and messy, and potholes ensue, and so it's dangerous driving and for kids on bicycles and skates and stuff like that. So the aesthetics are great, but it practically it's also a really wonderful improvement. I would like to give really high marks to the people who completed the project. I thought that the workmen themselves were very polite, and if you treated them nicely, they were informed and were willing to share that information with you. There was a supervisor named Dave who was very helpful. Andrew should get very high marks. There was a website that could be used and got answers. You know, anyone can tell you, oh, you can call this number or you can write to this website, but it doesn't always turn out that you actually get an answer back from those people. I think that communication is very important, that if you let people know what's going on, that whatever delays ensue are irritating, but they don't make you angry. So overall, I think that it was a fabulous investment, and I hope that the city sees its way clear to okay some others. Anything you need to ask me?
Any questions?
Thank you for being here.
Okay, yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Valerie. We had some other property owners who wanted to come in today that had some schedule conflicts. I did want to just pass out an email from property owner Mike Bear. The three objections that we received are summarized in Exhibit E. I just want to note for council that the street cost of the LID are not fixed. So if after reading through the objections in Exhibit E, you wanted to reapportion the assessments, the effect of that would be that they would be picked up by the other 58-plus property owners in the LID. So at this point, council has basically three options. One is to just simply accept the ordinance as it is without amending it, pass it to a second reading next week. If you approve it at the second reading next week, then the objections are overruled. The second option is you could reapportion the assessment today and amend the ordinance. The third option is you could ask me to re-notify the property owners and come back in 4 weeks and present a change in the assessment. My recommendation is to leave the assessments as proposed and pass this ordinance to a second reading next week. But I'm happy to answer any questions on the objections you may have.
Questions? Thank you. Is there anybody signed up to testify on this matter?
No one signed up.
Is there anyone here who wishes to testify to this specific matter? It's a non-emergency and moves to a second reading. Please read the 10 a.m. time, sir.
Item 518, Mill Park Elementary School and Adopt a Class.
Thank you. I'm going to have some folks from BHR this morning talk about the Adopt a Class program that the city's involved with. Anna Canwit will be we'll start off the presentation, and this young lady with her.
That's right. Mayor, commissioners, thank you very much for allowing us this time this morning. I'm Anna Canwit with the Bureau for Human Resources, and with me today is the fourth grade class from Mill Park Elementary School, who I have to compliment, who've been behaving so well.
They sure are.
While they've been here. Wayne Abbott and Janice Leonetti from the Adopt-A-Class program are going to give a brief introduction of what the program is about. But basically, they pair Title I classrooms with employee groups. And we got involved with them about a year ago and thought this would be a great pilot program to see how it would work for a city of Portland volunteers. And it is really a great experience. You're paired with a student from the class. This is my buddy, Dorinia. And you do about 3 activities with the kids a year. So it's minimal time, but lots of rewards. We exchange letters and get to know things about each other. And the kids, in preparation for this today, have been studying local government. They recognize each of you without reading your nameplates. And also were pleased they saw Auditor Blackmer walking in when they came in and recognized him as well. So they have really done their homework. I know you have a busy schedule and we want to get to the kids, so I'll let Wayne and Janice take a few minutes to just talk about the program, and then Teresa and Rachel will come up, the teachers.
Good morning. My name is Wayne Abbott. Adopt-A-Class is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to providing positive role models and enhanced educational experiences for our students who are attending Title I schools. Adopt-A-Class is a relatively new organization. It was founded in Cincinnati, Ohio in 2002. It was founded by a small business owner and his employees who recognized that they not only had a responsibility but an obligation to give back to their community. It all started with one small business, one classroom, and one school. Today, in Cincinnati, Ohio, there are 7 schools that are totally engaged in this program. There are over 2,200 students that are, as we call them, adopted in our program, and there are over 2,100 volunteers participating in that program. Janice and I brought Adopt-A-Class to Portland in 2006, based upon the great success that we saw happening in Cincinnati. We initiated a pilot program with James John Elementary out in St. John's, and after a successful pilot program in that first year, we expanded the program this school year to 3 additional schools, Humboldt Elementary out in North Portland, Capitol Hill over in the southwest, and Mill Park out in southeast in the David Douglas School District. Today, we have 26 classrooms that have been adopted in these schools by over 500 volunteers from our community. It's a diverse group of volunteers coming from various businesses and organizations, including Fred Meyer, U.S. Bank, United Community Credit Union, Wells Fargo, Port of Portland, both the downtown offices and the airport, Roosevelt High School Class of 1966, and the Roosevelt High School Class of 1969, Regents Blue Cross Blue Shield, George S. Bush Importers, IPM Property Management, Dreyer's Ice Cream Company, Columbia Sportswear, Coin TV, Learning.com, Metro Portland Rotary, Acosta Sales, Advantage Sales, and, of course, the City of Portland HR Division. Adopt-A-Class works. It is effective. It is affordable. There's no cost of entry to get into this program. There's no paid staff supporting this program. The only cost is the cost that the adopters decide that they want to put in it. So the adopters totally control the money trail here. And it is also sustainable. Now, Janice would like to share with you how and why Adopt-A-Class works and what we do.
One of the things that we really love about the Adopt-A-Class program is that the adult volunteer, or buddies as the kids call them, make a positive difference in their students' emotional and education as they are participating in the Adopt-A-Class program. A business organization adopts a Title I classroom, and each volunteer is then paired up with a child in that classroom. And it doesn't sound like a lot, but the volunteers spend about 10 to 12 hours of their time during a school year with their student through the 6 predetermined activities and their group activities. These activities are an introductory letter exchange to begin the establishing the relationship, a winter celebration, a thank you letter, and the students write a thank you letter to their buddy for a party, a spring activity, and then purchasing books for their students at the book fair. The students that are here today are an example of one of the spring activities that are taking place currently. We also have field days planned, walking tours of downtown Portland, and visits to the Art Museum, Chinese Garden, Portland Airport, and the Oregon Interpretive Center. The beauty of the Adopt-A-Class program is that it has the flexibility to accommodate everyone's busy schedules. We are finding that once the buddies meet their students and see the needs in the schools, they want to do more. Some examples of this are becoming a smarter Biggs volunteer, helping out in the classroom, purchasing school and classroom supplies, participating in school food drives, and chaperoning field trips. Other benefits of the Adopt-A-Class program are the emotional rewards that the buddies and teachers receive. The Adopt-A-Class coordinators such as Anna and her teachers Teresa and Rachel have built a wonderful relationship during their first year. It's also a great team-building activity, and we're hearing that the Adopt-A-Class buddies' energy level is high when returning to work from a classroom visit because of the joy that they have received from their kids. We would like to thank Anna and Yvonne for agreeing to pilot the Adopt-A-Class program for the first year. It sounds as if they would like to make this program available to other departments within the city of Portland, and we are so grateful for this. We feel that Adopt-A-Class is the perfect program for our city that is dedicated to educating and helping children succeed in school, and are looking forward to a long partnership with the city of Portland and Adopt-A-Class.
So Teresa and Rachel, would you come up? The two teachers are coming up to say a few words, and then we have five of the students are going to introduce their buddies, and then all the students would like to meet you, and we'll let you get on with your agenda. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Anna.
Mayor and City Council, thank you for having us here today. My name is Rachel Hendry.
And I'm Teresa Thiem.
Both of us have taught at Mill Park School for about 15 years, and now that we have our own little ones at home, we job share teaching this fourth grade class. And we want to tell you about our class and then share with you some things that Adopt-A-Class has done for us. We are a classroom of 32 fourth graders. About 83% of our students receive free and reduced lunch. 20 of our students speak another language at home. These students speak 6 different languages in addition to English. We actually have 18 languages at our school. We have 2 students that just have joined us from refugee camps, one in Somalia and one in Thailand. So as you can see, we have a very diverse classroom with a lot of really unique needs. And because of that, we work so hard every day, much harder than I ever remember working in elementary school. We intensely work on reading for an hour and a half a day, math for an hour, English, grammar, and writing for an hour, and it's paying off. We had 12 students pass the writing assessment this year, which is more than we've had in several years. We have several students that have passed the reading and math assessment, and some that have even exceeded the expectations. And we also have 2 students that have made over 2 years' worth of growth in reading just in their fourth grade year. So one drawback of working so much on the 3 R's is that we often don't have time for social studies, health, art, science, those kind of things. And so we're always looking for opportunities, memorable opportunities for our students to learn. And today is definitely one of those times, thanks to our Adopt-A-Class.
And we have talked for years about wanting to take our class downtown. And if you look inside our social studies book, there are pictures of downtown, yet every year we are surprised at how many of our students have never actually been to downtown Portland or crossed a bridge or know that there's a Willamette River. And we really want to thank our Adopt-A-Class buddies for giving us the opportunity to come downtown today, to come to City Council, and to get to meet you. And along with that, they also told us about the urban tour group downtown. So a couple of weeks ago, our students all got to come downtown and spend the day getting to learn all about the city of Portland and the history. Before this, they've never been down here. Now they are aware of jobs, the transportation in the city. They know about the job of the mayor and the city council. They've learned so much through this. And we have learned that it's really important that we have parents and community in our classroom. It's really essential. And through the Adopt-A-Class program, they have allowed the community to come in and to meet our kids and get to know our kids. And they have established some wonderful relationships. And we have some students that would like to tell you about their experiences.
Sure.
My name is Diana, and this is my buddy Don. We have writing letters back and forth to our bodies all year. Our teacher says that it's helping us to be better writers. We really like reading their letters.
My name is Yulia, and this is my buddy Linda. Our buddies came to our school to meet us in October. They bought us each books at our school book fair. Many of us don't have very many English books at home. We love our new books.
My name is
My name is Stefania, and this is my buddy Liz. We couldn't believe it when our buddies brought us Christmas present to our classroom. My buddy brought me a purse.
My name is Brandon, and this is my buddy Joe. Our buddies gave us school supplies in September in case we didn't have any. They also gave our teachers some money to buy any supplies that we didn't need.
My name is Ladislav, and this is my buddy Mike. But Mike is sick today. Our buddies came to school for our holiday Polar Express party. They ate cookies and drank hot chocolate with us, and even play some card games. Later, we sing Christmas carols in the gym together.
My name is Antonio, and this is my buddy Roger. Roger read our class the Polar Express at our Christmas party. When we met each other in October, we really liked each other. Roger is now my big brother and spends time with me outside of school. I really like that.
As you can see, our students have loved having these buddies, and we just can't thank the City of Portland enough for the school supplies, the Christmas presents, the books. They recently gathered over $400 for us to make sure the kids had books, crayons, pencils, activities to do over the summer. And we are very thankful for that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Peter.
Thank you so much. I think it'd be nice if we could shake hands with all the kids. So let's do it. Thank you, kids, for being here. It's very much appreciated. I'd like to recognize former City Commissioner Charles Jordan in the back. Commissioner, how are you? Thanks for being here. Please read the 10:30 time, sir.
I don't think your
mic's not on.
South Park Block 5 fundraising report.
Commissioner Salzman.
Thank you, Mayor. In a morning of tough acts to follow, I think we can maybe top this, or at least meet it. This morning, the Portland Parks Foundation and the Portland Parks and Recreation Department will quickly present to Council the current fundraising report on South Park Block 5 and introduce us to the wonderful donor who's made this park a reality. Our parks and natural areas have a tremendous impact on the success and livability of Portland's future. They serve as indicators of economic health and vitality of our city. This new park, in the heart of our downtown business, in the heart of our downtown business district, will play a crucial role in opening up the entire neighborhood and contributing to the ongoing resurgence of the Midtown Park blocks. The Parks Foundation has done incredible work since its formation in 2001. They are critical in fostering this type of collaboration between the city and private donors that enable us to be here today to create something as wonderful as South Park Block 5. Developing these relationships has been a high priority under my tenure as Parks Commissioner, and I'm proud of the work both the Bureau and the Foundation have contributed to these partnerships. Partnerships that are an essential tool if we hope to achieve the lofty goals we have set for this city's park system. I also want to again acknowledge Mr. Tom Moyer for his civic leadership in originally donating the space for the park block to the city. Parks Director Zary Santner now will give us a quick rundown on how the project is progressing, and then Parks Foundation Executive Director Linda Laviette will introduce us to our wonderful donor. Zary.
Thank you, Commissioner Salzman. Good morning, Mayor, members of the Council. Zary Santner, Director of Parks and Recreation. The Block 5 project has been in the making the past 10 years. It began with the generous donation of land by Mr. Moyer and $1 million cash, which was matched by $1 million and the commitment to build and maintain a park by the city. In the intervening years, the vision of the Portland citizens for this park, especially the downtown community, coupled with a robust construction economy, resulted in a park design and construction cost that was beyond the project's available funds. Thanks to the Portland Parks Foundation, especially its executive director, Linda Laviolette, whose success in securing a private donor for the construction of the park was absolutely essential in allowing us to complete the long-held vision for this park. As you all know, a project of this magnitude and this importance in downtown is complicated and time-sensitive. Linda's incredible ability to identify the potential donor and her power of persuasion to secure the considerable needed funds in a matter of a couple of months, it was nearly a miracle. She was ably assisted during the agreement processes by my staff, Allison Ross, who manages the project. And I want to thank them both for their commitment to this project and for their tenacity and diligence. I consider myself fortunate to be living in a city with visionary and civic-minded citizens such as Mr. Moyer and soon-to-be-introduced donor, who understand the value of giving to an endeavor that is for the public good, to benefit the city's current and future generations. Today, Linda will introduce our generous donor, who will in turn propose a name for the park. Portland Parks and Recreation will then follow the adopted naming policy by informing and seeking input from Downtown Neighborhood Association. This will be followed by review and recommendation of a standing committee that will be formed based on the naming policy, who will make the recommendation to Commissioner Salzman. Commissioner Salzman will then finally approve that based on consultation with the full council. In terms of the project, I'm very, very pleased to let you know that we had a bid opening last week, and it was a successful bid within our available funding, and the construction of the